Perfect. Well, thanks, Ed. I will begin by acknowledging Dr. Sondik's leadership of NCHS, and without whose support, none of this work would have been possible. I think NCHS is not only the repository of data, but has really moved towards efforts to open up data, and we're really grateful for that. I have no financial disclosures. this is the abstract, which is available online, but simply, I want to talk about very briefly the county health rankings. I was in a session yesterday, and I asked how many people had not heard of the county health rankings, and nobody raised their hand. So then I flipped it around and said, how many people have heard of it, and everybody raised their hand. So how many anybody here not heard of the county health rankings? Okay, we've got more here today. So I'll do a brief flyover of the rankings and then talk about advantages and limitations, and hopefully the limitations we'll address with the other speakers. This really is one of the most important advantages of the county health rankings, and it is the picture of health that we've used since we first published the rankings, looking at health outcomes measured by length and quality of life, and that there are factors which determine the health of a community. And those are fall in categories of health behaviors, clinical care, social and economic factors, and the physical environment. And then to the right, you can see the specific domains. And then knowing that each of these has an existing measure that is available in all or nearly all counties. We started this in Wisconsin in the early 2000s, and it was actually a spreadsheet that I worked on with a colleague, Paul Papard, that put this picture of health together, and then a graphic artist in our school actually brought it to life. So I think that's a really nice way, and for me it's been helpful in communities. Many community health assessments I've seen have used this to sort of talk about public health. It's more than healthcare. It's more than mortality, morbidity data. It's all the multiple determinants, and then the orange box is we can actually do something about it. The second thing we did when I began to work with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and proposing an application to RWJ, working with colleague Bridget Catlin, was we said when RWJ asked us to bring the rankings from Wisconsin to other states in the nation, and we put a logic model together. And the logic goes that if you can get data and do rankings, that the media pay attention, and local health officers and others increasingly use the report, the community gets engaged, there are evidence-based programs and policies out there that they can access, and then if they put those into place and implement them, then health outcomes improve. So this is, I think, reasonably good logic model. This is what drives our program, and it really was our early proposal called MATCH, Mobilizing Action Toward Community Health. And so one of the things I'd like to sort of pose to the audience is the question, if the data are, let's say, not as precise as that we would like them to be, yet they still get media attention and local health officers and community leaders look at the data and they get engaged and they do evidence-based programs and policies and things get better, is that a bad thing? So I'm just posing that question, that sometimes perfection can be the enemy of the good, and so that we don't have perfect local data. But how does that impact this logic, that maybe it drives community health improvement, maybe it drives efforts to get better data? So again, this really is the logic that drives our model. For those of you who don't know about the county health rankings, just go to the website, countyhealthrankings.org. This is a snapshot, I believe, of maybe an old snapshot. Sorry, Bridget. But countyhealthrankings.org is still the website. And this is an example of how we rank the counties. And we took a very explicit approach. We learned in Wisconsin that people are used to the state. Communities know about the county next door or other counties in the state. And that ranking within state causes conversations to happen locally. How do I compare to the county next door or the other counties in my state? And so this is the picture of the top five and the bottom five counties in every state. Again, we excluded some states with fewer than 10 counties, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, and Rhode Island. But you can basically see that notable geographic distribution of some of the healthiest and least healthy places. And depending on what state you're in, there's a conversation that's stimulated by having healthy places compared to least healthy places. And this is an example of a map that pulls out one of the dimensions of the overall health, and that's premature death rates, years of potential life lost. And I'm just going to run through these, and I just ask you to sort of, and I thank Annie again, I thank Annie for these maps. GIS is an amazing tool to visualize how health is distributed. And notice this is different than this map. This map forces the comparison to be within state, ranking the healthiest places to the least healthy. And this shows how health is distributed across the nation. And for example, if you look at Wisconsin, you can see our healthiest counties are suburban Milwaukee counties in the lower right-hand part. Let's see if I've got a pointer. Here are the suburban counties of Washington, Ozaukee, and maybe Waukesha, and Milwaukee County there. These are the counties, I think, of Adams and Marquette, maybe, Menominee County. And so you can see in Wisconsin that that pattern persists when you look at years of potential life lost. Again, here's Milwaukee County, here's Juneau and Adams County, Marquette County, and some of the northern counties. But what comes out more than that is the great disparity across the nation. So you see the Southeast having the highest rates of premature mortality. You see rural counties in the Dakotas. These are predominantly Indian reservations. Again, in New Mexico, Arizona, and Alaska. And when you look at all the measures, the other four measures of health outcomes, you generally see the same picture across the nation. Again, this is people who say that their health is in, they're in fair or poor health, poor physical health days, poor mental health days, and a measure of early life low birth weight. Again, patterns emerge across the nation. But the question that we have for today is, how precise are these estimates within these small counties in the middle part of the state? You can see here counties without a color, these white counties in Texas here for the BRFS measures and for the low birth weight measures are not reported. Again, if you think about risk factors like obesity, smoking, excessive drinking, or physical inactivity, these are produced by the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. Again, Derek is here, and thank the colleagues at the CDC and the BRFS for providing us with these estimates. But you can see smoking, obesity, and physical inactivity tends to cluster in the southeastern states and the rural Dakotas. Alcohol, excessive drinking, actually is almost the opposite, that this part of the country has the lowest rates. Wisconsin is very dense here. This is particularly present during Packer games, even when Packers lose. You see lots of excessive drinking reported, but a very different distribution of a risk factor. Samples of measures of the quality and access to health care. Again, different sort of distribution. This is rates of uninsured, primary care physicians, mammography screening, preventable hospital stays, and you see the national patterns. And then social and economic factors. Not surprisingly, percent of education with some college. Again, the dark tends to be higher risk. So these are darker is higher rates of people with less college. Unemployment, very interesting pattern of unemployment across the U.S. Again, higher rates of unemployment here, lower rates here. These are single-parent households and children in poverty. And then finally, measures of the built environment, looking at fast food restaurants, access to recreational facilities, air pollution, very interesting distribution of air pollution, particulate matter days, and ozone days. So that's a quick fly-through of the national data. Again, every county, we try and come up with an estimate for every county based on readily available data nationally. The question is, how robust are those estimates? Although we report confidence intervals when available, those aren't followed through in our rankings. Our rankings are as they rank, and we don't at present give uncertainty measures for those ranks. This is, again, how Wisconsin looks, as you can see. Health outcomes shown in green are poorer in the northern counties, these central counties in Wisconsin, and then the southeast. Obviously, given the correlation between health determinants and health outcomes, that pattern for the health factors looks very similar. This is our ranking from, I believe this is 2013, showing the five healthiest counties. Ozaukee is a suburban community of Milwaukee. This is a county up in near Door County. This is a suburban, really, county of the Twin Cities and a couple of other rural counties. And then these are relatively poor, sparsely populated rural counties, Forest, Adams, and Marquette. Milwaukee, which is predominantly urban city of Milwaukee, and Menominee County in Indian Reservation. And when you look at what's happened since we've been ranking our counties using this standard approach, is that if you follow Ozaukee and St. Croix County, the number one and number two counties in 2010, their ranks have changed a little bit. They actually flipped in 2012. That caused some media attention in St. Croix County. We're number one was a local headline, and the health officer was quite pleased. Of course, that didn't last long. The next year, she dropped to third, and Ozaukee became the best ranked. Interestingly, Washington County, and these are two suburban counties of Milwaukee, were ranked the same from 2010 to 2011. Because we use overlapping years of data, multiple years, 3 years for the health outcomes of premature mortality and 7 years for the other measures, change from year to year is less likely to occur. But you can see here Washington and Waukesha County in 2012 dropped to sixth and seventh, and then dropped even further by 2013. The question is, what's causing that? What's the response from the community? How much of this change might be attributed to small area variation? These are fairly large counties, so that shouldn't be real important. But air obviously contributes to all estimates. And then on the other side, Pierce and Taylor, a couple of rural counties, have moved generally up in ranking. Although if you look at Pierce, Pierce went up and down and then up. So, again, asking the question, how much of the change in ranks is due to error in estimation versus actual change either in that community or in the communities ranked above and below it? This is an example of a slide I borrowed from Rocky Foyer that is work in progress. This is an example of ranking states on a measure of cancer mortality. I think it's all-cause age-adjusted mortality. And you can see there, these are the confidence intervals, and you can see if you were to rank the states, you'd feel fairly comfortable saying that the states, I think it's West Virginia, Mississippi, Alabama, with the number one highest rates of cancer, that those are easily well above the states in the next grouping, and certainly far above the states at the other end. But if you think about ranking with counties within a state, this is an example of a measure of cancer mortality within a subgroup, that these are ranked because the absolute values differ, but the 95% confidence intervals would suggest that this ranking is no more than random, almost could be alphabetical or randomly ranked, that there's really no real difference between any of these rates. So the question being, can we improve situations that may look like this in actuality when we're ranking some of our measures? These, again, might be fine to rank given traditional methods, but can we improve the precision of these estimates so that ranking means more? So rankings clearly have an advantage. I think that picture that we showed, we've developed, is a nice model. It's easy to understand the relationship between outcomes and determinants. It's easy to communicate to community members, policymakers, and leaders. And also rankings are really easy to understand and get attention from people in the community. That conversation that St. Croix had about ranking number one in the state got community leaders, hospital leaders to get together to talk about why that might happen and what they could do to continue to see good outcomes. And ranking within state, we're convinced, is the best approach. Although those national maps are interesting, that's a different conversation about why the South and East tends to have the poorest health outcomes. But the conversations could happen and do happen within every state. But obviously there are some disadvantages. Rankings, we know the rankings are based on rates in small areas, and many of those estimates are unstable. By using multiple years to reduce the instability or improve the precision, this leads to lags in reporting. And so it makes it real hard to monitor trends over time. When you have a 7-year moving average, it almost takes a career to, you know, wait 5 or 6 years to have estimates that are independent. And rankings change from year to year, but we know some of that change is due to error in measurement. And the question I ask, in fact, I see a colleague from Wisconsin who's a health officer, some of this change could actually lead to productive conversations, digging deeper into the data, looking for better sources of data, or it could be a real bother, having to have a conversation for no reason at all other than the numbers vary from year to year, and that's why our rank is changing. So I think that's an important programmatic question about the value of error in estimation. Does it lead to productive conversations, then leading to health improvement strategies, or are those unproductive conversations? So future opportunities. We're very interested in the work that is going on in Seattle, Institute of Health Metrics, and the folks at CDC to help us with modeling estimates for both health outcomes and health factors. You'll hear from our colleagues who have done some of this work as part of their graduate work at the UW. I just was talking to Kurt Egebrecht about supplementing survey data with data from electronic health records. How can electronic health records be combined from competing health systems to build up measures of, for example, body mass index or rates of diabetes? So I think that's really the future in some ways in population health. And I think one of the things that we found with the county health rankings, it's a sort of an employment program for people who are in the data field, that there will be an increased demand for an increased hopefully capacity for robust local data systems. I want to end by acknowledging the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding the county health rankings, our various providers at the federal level for data, and our partners, and in particular our county health ranking team. I've only listed a couple here, Bridget Catlin, Angie Russell, Amanda Jovag, I see Annie, and you'll hear from a couple of others who have really worked hard on our team. So I think I'm going to defer I maybe have extra time that I'm going to give to others. I don't. Okay.
There you go.
Then I'm done.
Okay. Thank you.